creating a class system. So we talked about that. And then we ended with chapter 2, checking your pulse, which was all about, you know, is our works backing up the faith that we say that we have so it impacts other people. So we've gone through all of chapter 1, all of chapter 2, and all of those messages are online. So you can either check them out on the website or on the church app that we have, and you can get caught up if you'd like to. And so today we're going to continue in chapter number 3. Now, as we begin chapter number 3, we're going to get into an area that's about as practical an area as there is in life, and that is our speech, what we talk about, taming the tongue. Taming your tongue is what it talks about, the power and the impact of our words with other people. When I've gone through this text before, when I've gone through like in small groups and other contexts where I've been going through the book of James, sometimes the consensus is, let's just kind of skip over these verses, you know? These verses hit really, really close to home because we talk all the time. You know, things that we think about, things that we do, sometimes those aren't as exposing, but what we say exposes a lot about where we are and who we are and what we value in life. Our words are powerful things. Maybe you've heard the statement before, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Right? Wrong. Words do hurt. Words do damage. Words maim. Words can be very, very destructive things. How many friendships have gone astray because of the words that were said? How many marriages have been destroyed because of the words that have been said? Other relationships that have been impacted severely and negatively because of our words, of our speech. Every person in this room, including myself, every one of us has said things, and as soon as we say them, we want to do what? You know, I wish I could reel that back in. I wish I could take those words back. I wish I hadn't said it in that way, with that tone of voice. Some of us have heard things that we wished we had not ever heard. We've been exposed to information that we wish we would not have been exposed to. We would rather just, la, 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 we don't want to hear it. Words are very, very powerful things. And here in James chapter 3, we have some insight into the subject of the taming of the tongue. So let's take a look at these first 12 verses of James chapter number 3 and begin to unpack it a little bit today. The Bible says this, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water." Father, thank you for these moments we have together. Lord, instruct us, teach us, help us today, I pray. May each one of us look inward at the effect and the impact of our words. And Father, may you speak in our heart in such a way as to cause a change in the way that we perceive and practice the words that we use. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The control of our speech is a tremendous indicator of our Christian walk. The entire book of James, all we've talked about as it relates to James is, these are the things that demonstrate what you say you have internally. So your faith, what's inside, how does it express itself? How is it exposed to other people? Well, there are few places more powerful than the words that come out of our mouths. There are a number of different things today we use as indicators. There are things in our body, like if there are those that struggle with diabetes and they've got to check blood pressure, there's indicators as to where the sugar is in the blood. In our cars, you know, we've got all these indicator lights in our cars, and some of the newer cars are just really, really confusing. And most of you know that's not my area. That's not my gifting, is, you know, automotive things. And I'll see some indicator light come up on my car, and I'm like, what in the world is that? And so I gotta pull out the owner's manual, which I'm convinced they're not really wanting you to look through, by the way. Looking through the owner's manual, like, where in the world, what is this going on with my car? So we've got those indicators in our vehicles that tell us that something is wrong. We've got indicators in our home. My least favorite is when the battery in the smoke detector starts to go, right? It's always in the middle of the night. It's at least in my house. Chirp, chirp, chirp. Really? Come on, you're killing me. And I think one that fits the message today is going to the doctor, and he's checking out our throat. You know, we got issues with our throat, and Elijah, you were at the doctor. They do the tongue depressor thing, you know, to check things out and see if it's red, see if it's swollen, see what's going on in your throat, because they want to diagnose what's happening in your life. This passage gives us an exam of sorts, because what we say is such a powerful indicator of who we are and where we are spiritually. And we're going to talk about that at the very end of the message, but just for this point, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so a lot is said about our hearts by the words that come out of our mouth. So these verses give us some really good perspective on the issue. So we're going to do kind of just a flyby. We've got communion here at the close of the service this morning, so we're not going to dig too deep today. I just want to kind of do a flyby, and then we'll probably come back and look at some of these points again next week and unpack it a little bit more. That's one of the blessings and benefits of kind of going through a book of the Bible verse by verse by verse, and whatever we don't get to in one service, you know, we just kind of pick it up in the next service and keep unpacking these truths. So let's take a look at what the Bible says about the use of the tongue, and you've got an outline on the back of your bulletin, so check that out, and you can follow along with us if you'd like. Now, the first couple verses kind of set the stage and aren't really related to the rest, but let me just, you know, talk about them just briefly and give a little bit of parentheses to the beginning. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. And so there's a real strong admonition and a real strong reminder for those of us that teach the word to children, to teenagers, to adults, that we better be mindful of what we're saying, because we're going to be held to a little bit of a higher standard, because we're serving as a mouthpiece for the things and principles of God. And I just want you to think about that just for a minute. And I want it to be, I want you to receive it in a way, in a context that says, I need to be praying for Pastor Greg. I need to be praying for Brian. I need to be praying for Jeff and Nicole and our Adventure Village leaders and everyone who's got a part in standing in front of people with the Word of God and saying, thus saith the Lord. It is an awesome privilege, and it is an awesome responsibility. And I don't mean awesome just in the sense of cool awesome. I mean like overwhelmingly awesome in the sense of that's our responsibility. So pray for me and pray for our leaders. Pray for those people who are teaching the Word of God, that we would be faithful, that we would be accurate, and that our lives would back up and reinforce the things that we're teaching, because it is a great, great responsibility. And then he goes on to say, if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If you get victory, there are lots of things we struggle with, you know, and there are lots of different areas of life as human beings, fallen human beings, still with a sinful nature. There are lots of things that we struggle with in life. The Bible says if you can get a grasp, if you can get a handle on getting control of your speech, of your words, of how you communicate with people, you're going to experience a lot of victory in your life. It is such a large part of who we are and such a large part of how we interact with other people that if we can get victory in this one area, we're going to see victory in lots of other areas. So let me really encourage you, you know, to really take this to heart. And these are hard, like I said, these are kind of rubber meets the road issues when we talk about our tongue and our speech and our words. So let me encourage us today. Okay, so number one, the tongue is small but powerful. Okay, it is small, but it is powerful. It is, you know, it is not a major part of who you are physically. Okay, not as big as your arm, not as big as your foot. Not, you know, it's a very small member of your body, but it is a very powerful one. Verses 3-5. If we put bits in the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member. So he gives us two illustrations about this. You've got the horse's bit, and you've got the rudder on the ship. Now, I don't understand a lot about horses and how to handle horses, but I do know that you've got the bit, and the bit is, you know, is connected to the reins, and with that one, I mean, horses are big. Horses, how many of you ride horses? Anybody ride horses? Okay, all right, several people. Big, powerful, beautiful animals, and even, you know, dangerous in the sense of if you can't control them, or if you're, you know, doing jumps or exercise, I mean, they can be really, really dangerous. But a bit, something relatively small, can control a broken, trained horse to do basically anything the rider wants it to do. Amazing. Something small, but very, very powerful. And the same thing here with a rudder. Now, this is a big ship, a picture of a big ship, and that's a big rudder. But in comparison to the size of the ship, it's a very, very small piece that controls the whole nature of the ship as it's out on the sea. Just because it's small, it doesn't mean it's not powerful. Just because it's small doesn't mean it's not powerful. So here's my, you know, gratuitous Star Wars reference of the week. Okay, next slide. All right, we'll go back. Okay. Just because it's small doesn't mean it's not powerful. It is very powerful. That bit, very powerful. Because of what it controls. That rudder, very powerful because of what it controls. The horse's bit, it brings submission. It brings submission. When you have control over your speech, it brings everything else into submission in your body. The ship's rudder, it forces change. I mean, really think about that. You know, a ship is going this direction, and if you want the ship to go that direction, it's going to require the use of the rudder to make a course correction and go that way. Some of you are here today, and you're like, Pastor Greg, I'm going this direction. I need to be going that direction, but I'm going this direction. Well, let me give you some insight as to how you can begin turning the ship of your life. Get control of this thing and see the difference it begins to make. So it brings submission, and it also forces change. The tongue is small, but it is powerful. Number two, the tongue is necessary, but it is dangerous. It's necessary, but it's dangerous. Latter part of verse 5, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. The tongue is absolutely necessary. This is the way we communicate with each other. We use our words, we use language, we use speech. But we have to consider the danger as well. We've got to be mindful of the danger that our words can cause. Now look, I don't mean, there are two different ways of unpacking this, okay? The first is, you know, just the intentional. You know, sometimes we are just intentionally mean. We're intentionally hurtful. We're intentionally caustic. We're intentionally trying to put people down or put people in their place. Clearly a line there is crossed that we need to be mindful of, okay? But we also want to recognize that sometimes we say things and our intention is not to do those things, but sometimes our words are received that way. Okay? So I want us to kind of walk this line a little bit and say, be careful about what you say, but be gracious with yourself when you have no intention for ill will. Does that make sense? Okay? Look, you're gonna make mistakes. You're gonna say things. We all have different filters. And so there are things that you're gonna say to me that I'm gonna filter based on my background, my education, my experience, you know, people, you know, other relationships that I've had. I filter them that way. Okay? I say things, you know, and it may come to me in a way that is completely not how you intended it at all. Okay? Be gracious with yourself. Okay? Extend a little grace to yourself. Okay, when those situations happen, because they are going to happen. It's not if, but when. We are gonna fumble, okay? So we're not so much talking about that, the inadvertent things that we say. Now, we should still be mindful, and that should, you know, cause us to be careful with our words, but we're more talking about just, you know, this intentionality of, you know, being overly caustic, overly sarcastic. That's my deal. We'll talk about that in just a minute. You know, overly sarcastic, overly caustic, overly critical, overly whatever. Where it's just coming off as negative, negative, negative. Your tongue and your speech and your words can be a fire that can cause great, great damage. Be careful about minimizing the impact that your words can have. Our tongue is absolutely necessary, but it is dangerous. And, you know, it's one thing to read these words in verse number 8, but no human being can tame the tongue. It's almost like, well, then close the book, you know. We're done. Thanks for coming today. No human being can tame the tongue. So, Pastor Greg, what is the point? Let me share this verse with you, Philippians 4:13. You know it. I can do how much? Are you sure? Is that what it says? I can do what? All things through whom? Christ. Who what? Strengthens me. Okay? If you try to tame your tongue, you will fail every time. You will fail. Because it is not within you. It is not within your person to be able to tame it. You may be able to control it for a little while. Okay? You may be able to put it in a timeout. Okay? But you will never tame it on your own. It is a supernatural something that happens in your life. And I want you to be encouraged today that through Christ, you can tame your tongue. That Christ working through you, Christ working in you and working through you, you can get victory in this area. Some of us have been so negative for so long, or so sarcastic for so long, or so caustic for so long, we just don't know how else to be. That's just become a part of our norm. And I'm here to tell you, you can experience victory because Jesus Christ is that victory. Amen? Can I get an amen? All right, amen. That's really, really important. So the tongue is necessary, but it is dangerous. And really, really quick, I always like to, when I teach on this passage, you know, the other side of that coin. You know, the other side of that coin is, you know, it is certainly powerful to the negative, and that's a lot of what you see here in James chapter number 3. But if it is that powerful to the negative, it is also that powerful to the positive. Absolutely. Don't minimize those words. Don't minimize sending somebody that text or that Facebook message or giving them a phone call or, you know, greeting someone in church or you see somebody at Walmart or Winco or wherever you're at and just, you know, a handshake and just a gesture and, hey, how are you doing? It's good to, you know, never, you know, the devil says, well, it doesn't matter. You know, those words are inconsequential. Those words don't mean anything. I'm here to tell you that's just not the truth, right? Because when you're encouraged, it means the world to you, doesn't it? Absolutely. When I get encouraged, it means the world to me. So be an encouragement to someone else. Recognize the great negative that is a part of this member, but also recognize the great positive that is this member in encouraging and lifting up other people. So the tongue is small but powerful. The tongue is necessary but dangerous. And thirdly and lastly, the tongue is helpful but inconsistent. Okay? It's helpful, but it's inconsistent. Different there are mixed messages, and it talks about that here, and we'll read the verses in a second, about blessing and cursing. Like the same things come out of this, different things come out of the same mouth. So we may say one thing in one context, we say something else in a different context, but sometimes the message just gets jumbled, and we just misuse the words in a way that it's not received by the hearer the way that it should be. So to illustrate this, I brought along some descriptions of accidents that were written on insurance claim forms. Okay, so if you've ever been in an accident, you've got to, you know, there's a claim form that you got to fill out, and you got to describe what happened in the accident. These are actual, these aren't made up, these are actual claims that have been put on forms to describe accidents that happened, and you'll notice right away the power of the words. All right, look at the first one. I pulled from the side of the road, glanced at my mother-in-law, and headed for the embankment. Probably not what they meant to convey there, but that's how the words were presented, all right? Next one. The guy was all over the road. I had to swerve a number of times before I hit him. Gonna get him. It's like Mario Kart. Okay? Okay, next one. The pedestrian ran for the pavement, but I got him. I got him. Didn't get away from me. All right. Next. I had been shopping for plants all day and was on my way home. As I reached an intersection, a hedge sprang up, obscuring my vision, and I did not see the other car. I hate it when a hedge springs up out of nowhere. All right. Next one. In an attempt to kill a fly, I drove into a telephone pole. Does anybody else identify with this one? That's mine right there. One day there may be an accident report that says that, because there's nothing bothers me more than a fly buzzing around in my car. Open your window. Go look at all that air. Go. Be free. Anyway. Okay, and then the last one. Windscreen broken, cause unknown, probably voodoo. Okay? What's the point? Our words are helpful, but they can be inconsistent. They don't always convey what we mean to convey. And we see that in these final verses, 9 through 12. With it, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. And this is really where the rubber meets the road. Because we can create this compartmentalization with our speech, with our language, with our words, and we speak one way. I mean, just think about how we've spoken today and the worship songs and the praise that we've offered with these same lips may later on today be used to put down someone in our family. May be used to curse at someone. May be used to be used in a derogatory manner, a derogatory fashion. The same mouth. I mean, you've heard that expression. You know, you kiss your mom with that mouth. You know, where does that come from? Okay, and this idea of with the same mouth we bless God and we curse people. And oh, may that just get a hold of our hearts today. And again, maybe it's lewd talk, maybe it's profanity, maybe it's negativity, maybe it's sarcasm. May God help us to get victory in this area, because our words are helpful, but they are oftentimes so inconsistent, praising and cursing. I think one of the greatest examples, particularly in our day, today, because of the technology that's available to us with our smartphones and our tablets and all the things that we have, is the great use and the great blessing that different, you know, technological things afford us, whether it's connecting with people, whether it's books, whether it's reading, whether it's encouragement, whether it's scripture, whether it's music, you know, all those things. You know, I can get all those things from this piece of technology. Blessing, praising, positive, goodness. With the exact same piece of technology, I can find the worst, most disgusting filth to be found out on the internet. Can I? Right here. Right now, I've got internet right now. And right now, I'm using this iPad to preach my message. My sermon outline is right here. And I could just, in a moment's time, close that out, open up my internet, and boom, I can be exposed to all the nastiness that this world has to offer. Blessing and cursing. Okay? The tongue is the same way. It can be a wonderful tool that God can use to bring glory to his name, to encourage others, to share the gospel, to lift up a friend, to pray and offer praise. And the very same mouth, the very same tongue can be used to put down others and criticize and bring down. He says, what does he say? He says, these things ought not to be so. And one of the things I love about what James says here, and if you've been in the series, you may have caught this already, and if you haven't, let me show you. As you're going through the book of James, you'll find oftentimes he uses one little word time and time again. He keeps throwing it in there. He says, brothers. Brothers. And it's a sign of family. It's a sign of affection. It's not one where he's saying, you better stop doing this. He never puts himself in a position where he's lording over his audience. Like, I'm up here and you're down there and you better stop doing what you're doing. So many times in the book of James, he uses this one single word, brothers, and he puts them down. He puts them in their level. He puts himself on the same plane. Friend, we're all in this together. We're all in this together. This is something that we all struggle with. Okay? I've been sure I was, my wife, where's Trey at? So my wife was, my daughter, bloop, back up. Okay. So does this ever happen, with any of you? Like, okay, so my daughter comes to me and wants something from me. I want to do this. And I say, well, you need to talk to your mom, So, daughter says one thing to one parent and one thing to another parent. Does anybody else's kids do that? Is it just me? I feel so much better. Okay. And so Gracie asked me something about second service, and then Tracy came to me and was like, did you tell Gracie she could? I said, no, I told Gracie she needed to talk to you and make sure you were, because I got stuff to do. I'm working here. Talk to your mom. I didn't actually say it that way, but I was telling her, I said, okay, it's fine, but like just this one time, and Christy and Keith, they were in the back, and I was being real like stern to Tracy. I was like, really, like, you tell her just one. She's like, they're like, Pastor Greg, like, whoa, And so even in that moment, I was like, and I was like, kind of bringing the hammer down a little bit, and whatnot. We all struggle with this. Every single one of us are gonna trip up in this area. So he's saying, brothers, this ought not so to be. Get victory in this area, and let's do it together as a family. So let me close with with something that you've seen before. You've seen that on social media. I don't mean for it to be cliche, but it's instructive, and so I hope it'll be helpful. So check out the next slide. Before you speak, think. How many of you have seen this before? I'm here to tell you, if we did this, it would make a huge difference and our communication relationship with each other. So before you think, before you speak, think. Letter T, is it true? Okay, is it true? Well, I heard it from a person, so it's my obligation to pass it along, right? No, okay, is it true? Okay, that's the first question you should ask. Number two, letter H, is it helpful? Just because it's true doesn't mean it's helpful for you to be passing it along, okay, to somebody. So is it helpful in a situation? Number three, is it inspiring? Okay, is our intent to build up? Is our intent to lift up? Is our intent to edify? Or is our intent to destroy and to make matters worse? Get involved in the drama. I put this quote on Facebook a couple weeks ago. I heard on Dave Ramsey's show. It was conflict is inevitable. Drama is a choice. I love that. Okay, there's always going to be conflict, but drama is a choice. Okay, choose not to be in the drama. Is it inspiring? Letter N, is it necessary? Is it necessary? Is it something that you have to take care of, and do you have to take care of it at this moment? Like, are you taking it upon yourself, like right now? Or is it, hey, can we get together? Can we talk? Can we grab a coffee? Can we, what's the time frame this needs to happen? And then letter K, is it kind? You know, is kindness what drives it, or is there some other motivation? So I think that's a really great basis by which to kind of process and filter the things that are going through our mouths. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? So something for you to think about as we go today. The control of our speech, tremendous indicator of our Christian walk. Let me share the scripture I referenced it earlier. It's in Matthew chapter 12, verses 34 to 37. So go ahead and jot that down somewhere in your notes. It says, "For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken, for by your words you'll be acquitted, and by your words you'll be condemned." Don't minimize the effect, the power, the impact of your tongue. Is small but powerful, necessary but dangerous, helpful but inconsistent. Let me close out just with some scriptures. We've talked before about James is often referred to as the Proverbs of the New Testament because it's full of so much practical guidance and wisdom. Check out these verses in Proverbs. Proverbs 10:19. "When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise." Sometimes the best words to speak are the words not spoken. Think about it. The Bible says, "Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Think about it. Proverbs 12:6, "The words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the speech of the upright rescues them." The words of the wicked lie in wait for blood. I can't wait to get into this. Be careful about that. 12:19, "Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment." And 13:3, "He who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin." Notice that connection. Guarding our lives. Guard your lips. Think about the impact of the words that you use, both for the good and for the bad. May we, through the strength of the Lord, in all things are possible, all things are available through Christ who strengthens you. May God give us victory in this area. Father, thank you so much for the time we've had this morning. And I pray, Lord, your blessing upon each person here today, myself included. Lord, we all struggle in this area to one degree or another. And your word makes it clear that if we can get victory here, we're going to have victory in so many other areas of life. So, Father, I pray for your blessing and your help and your strength for each one. Number one, that we would acknowledge the impact and power of our words. And number two, submit that speech under your control and not our own. Father, there may be some apologies that have to be offered this afternoon. Husbands to wives, wives to husbands, parents to children, children to parents. Lord, I pray that you give folks grace and strength to be able to do that, to start anew, to start afresh. Lord, I pray that if there are heart issues that are being revealed by the words that are spoken, Lord, that you would deal with those heart issues. Help us, Lord, not to just deal with the effects and not deal with the causes. So, Lord, give people help, give people strength, give people guidance and direction as they consider this area of their speech and their words. And we'll give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Before we close this morning, it's the first Sunday of the month, so we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper today. So I invite the ushers to come who are helping us this morning. And if you're here today and are a believer, you know, Jesus Christ is personal Savior, you're welcome to participate with us today. We want you to join with us. If for whatever reason you're unsure, or you have questions, or there's just things you're uncertain about, go ahead, let the tray pass, and we'll be more than happy to answer any questions you might have about what this signifies, what this means. But if you're here and you know Jesus is Savior, we want you to feel a part of this time together. This is a point in time. It's a point in our lives that ties directly back to Jesus in the upper room before his betrayal, before his arrest, before his crucifixion, before he sacrificed himself, completing his mission. that he put in place so that we would never forget, that we would always remember what he did for us. So the bread represents the body that was broken for us. The juice represents the blood that was shed for us. And so we do it, we partake of it in remembrance of his great sacrifice. And so we do that together this morning as a family. So I'll pray and ask God's blessing, and then they'll distribute all the elements. Take a piece of bread, take a cup of juice, and then once everyone has been served, we'll all participate together. Father God, thank you so much for the gift of your Son. Thank you for the power that is available to us to get control of our speech, to get control of our words because of your sacrifice, because you conquered death. Because you conquered the grave, you can conquer anything. And so, Father, we rest. We absolutely rest in that truth this morning. And as we participate this morning in this ordinance that you, with the very hands of Jesus, put in place in that upper room so many years ago, I pray that we would be, you would take us to that moment, and you would take us to that place where we truly remember the blessing that's involved in knowing that you paid for our sin. You paid sin's penalty. You paid for the guilt. You paid for the shame. You paid it all. All to you we owe. I just thank you, Lord, for this time we have to celebrate and to remember. And I ask your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Apostle Paul, writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Verse 25, "In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. All God's people said, amen. 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 Thank you so much for being here today. We trust the service was a blessing and encouragement to your life. Be in prayer for one another. Be in prayer for our church. Let me encourage you, remember different things happening today. Adventure Village rehearsal for the Christmas play at 2 o'clock today. And that involves all the children who are participating. So it's not just the play cast members that have been practicing the last several weeks. The kids have been practicing, those that are going to be doing kind of like the choir, the song part of it. All the kids need to be here today at 2 o'clock if they're going to participate these next two Sundays leading up to their performance on the 20th. So that's at 2 o'clock today. And then, of course, Project Jericho tonight at 6 o'clock. So I want to encourage all the 6th through 12th graders to be here. And do be in prayer for that night, as we'll have a number of visitors, a number of guests with us tonight. And looking forward to a great time. But do pray for Brian and Gina and for their team as they minister to just a number of young people tonight. All the other youth leaders that'll be here, let's be in prayer. As you're dismissed today, there'll be ushers in the back who will be collecting a benevolence offering, which we do the first Sunday of the month, which goes to help fund the area that is specifically for helping folks in our church with physical, material, monetary need. So if you'd like to contribute to that, you can do so. And everybody, as you go out, you get a tongue depressor with the word think on it, all right? So grab one of these on your way out, and let that be a reminder to you of some of the things we talked about today. It was either this or duct tape. And I thought this would be a better reminder, you know, than... Yeah, I learned in church today, just keep my mouth shut. Anyway, so the ushers have one of these for you. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? All right, put it somewhere. Will it be a reminder to you? God bless you. Let's go ahead and stand together. Jeff's going to lead us out in a song. So good to have you today. Have a great week. Come back next Sunday. We'll see you then.